Today on the Better Business, Better Life podcast, we're going to discuss all things Christmas. We've got Ree, who's our marketing exec, and Rach, who's our internal HR advisor. We're going to discuss some top marketing tips for that festive period and also why staff culture is so important in these next couple of months. Okay, so we are here with another podcast, and I'm still filling in for Stu. I've chosen to funnel my English heritage with my awesome jumper, as you can see.
It's gorgeous.
You know, New Zealand summertime, you need a good English Christmas jumper. So Christmas is coming, so we thought we'd do a podcast on Christmas, but rather than go down that conventional route of talking about budgets and have you sorted out your payroll and things like that, as a business owner, I actually wanted to address a couple of different things, and that was, have you taken the time to think about your marketing over Christmas? And also, have you taken the time to think about your staff? Okay. And for that reason, we have brought two people who like to shy away from the front line in Rhian and Rach. So Rhian is our marketing exec and Rach is our internal HR guru. Mm-hmm. So she has to keep all of us in line. So instead, she's going to come and share some of her words of wisdom today. So, who wants to go first? So let's have a chat with Ree about some marketing. So I know marketing over Christmas can be different to the rest of the year. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, definitely. Especially if you are looking at digital marketing, because it's extremely important and expensive right now. It's important still, but it's very expensive. So
Yeah. Basically
the budget bang, you're not gonna get.
Why is it more expensive at this time of year than other times of year?
Everybody is there. The whole market is completely saturated. So you will have been being hit with, buy this toy for your kids, buy this, buy that, buy this, get this for your mother-in-law. Have you considered this? Yeah. Like, it's just everywhere. And it's really hard to get cut through, especially if you're not retail or hospo. Mm. That's where I would actually be considering maybe utilizing that budget at a different time of year or putting it into something else other than, say, social marketing or digital marketing. And that could even be
a bit of a David and Goliath, isn't it? Some of the small guys could be going up against some of the big guys like Mitre 10, who 100%. I know you love. Making sure that you spend some budgets efficiently over this kind of time.
Yeah, I'd say so. And also just really looking into who you're targeting. If you are doing social media marketing, you want to make sure that you're not, you know, just going, oh, I'm going to do all of Tauranga, or I'm going to do all of Auckland, or wherever it is you are based, especially if it's all of New Zealand, because you're just going to have to either be aware that you're going to need to pay much, much more to get through, or it's just going to get lost in amongst everything else. I guess the difference would be if you have one of those ads where it's basically going to become viral, like it's awesome, amazing ad, then you'll still get your cut through, but you even then will have to pay for it.
That's kind of my fair enough. So when I own the physio practice or the gym, so we always used to do a big push on Christmas presents.
Yep.
So ideas of like buying a year membership or buying something for your loved ones, because who wouldn't want a PT session with me?
Especially in that jersey.
Believe it or not, I actually used to wear a reindeer onesie.
Oh my god!
For Christmas workouts, like full in the hood.
I would not put that past you.
I'll save that for our last day in the office. Anyway, so we used to do stuff like that, which I suppose inadvertently, even though we weren't trying, was good because we were just marketing to our current clients rather than who we've already got some traction with, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. If you've got a database, that's your gold right now, because you don't have to really pay for that. And I suppose it's the way that you actually word it. Like, if you're going out and wishing them well, it's keeping that communication with your clients up. You're treating them as you would want to be treated, not just as a sales, you know, a sales team or something like that. You know, you really want to get through to them that you're caring about them, and potentially you are offering them things such as that mother-in-law gift where you just can't think of anything, a bundle. A lot of people will be thinking about doing a gift bundle, and I guess that's probably a really good idea at the moment, because no doubt stock levels, even in retail and other industries are going to be really low. So potentially one way around that would be to put a whole heap of things together into a bundle, and then you advertise that bundle, or things you know you have a lot of stock of, you put those as your front facing things that you're marketing. Or you might say limited numbers, or do a story about that rather than it just being constantly paid ads.
Yeah, so like do things a bit differently.
Got to think out of the box.
Just talking about that whole like mother-in-law thing, it made me think there's a rafting company that operates around here in Tauranga, and they do part of their promotion on, you know, this is the point that the mother-in-law gets out of the raft. There's a section of river called the Warral River, and the second rapid's called Mother's Nightmare because that's apparently where the mother-in-law that's where the mother-in-law gets out. Apparently, that's the point that she's like, "What have you signed me up for?" And they put their whole marketing campaign around that. So what other top tips have we got for some marketing over this time of year then, Marie?
I suppose like one that's definitely going to get kids, get people in the door, and especially, I don't know if it's just mainly Tauranga, but I wouldn't have thought so. If you have got something that's free for kids, that is going to get people in the door. Families are huge. Get the big man in. Get him in. Offer them the opportunity to come and take a photo themselves with the big man. So they're not having to pay for the photo to be developed. It's not heaps of work. You literally just have the big man and his elf mate.
And they stand up with their phones and take a photo. I'm sure you've done that a couple of times, Rach.
Yes.
I think Florence would freak out if I took her to see Father Christmas.
Yeah, I think she'd scream. Doesn't it?
Yes, we got asked to leave a shopping plaza once because my child was screaming so much in fear of Santa. So
that might be an idea of marketing gone wrong.
Potentially
not. Spend any money.
You've really got to pick the right Santa.
Especially on that stranger's knee. But even things like treats or
face painting, like making it into a family day. I suppose like if you've got a bigger store or you have a collective group of people, like if you're all on one street, you could partner together to do something, put your funds together rather than going out alone. Just think outside the box for things to do around this time of year, because you really can't just do what you always do because it's just so expensive and it is just, you've got to get that cut through. So you want to think of something different. And if you can, engagement should be what you're really focusing on, because if people are talking about what you're doing, that's going to organically spread itself out there. So you want to make sure you're really focusing on engagement. Like a big thing I noticed
how can you get people to tag you on Instagram hashtag, isn't it? That's totally got to be the key.
One of the things I think a lot of people forget about with if they're marketing socially is that it's called social media marketing. It's social. It's not sales media marketing. So you do have to have a balance and actually be friendly. The way that you communicate, it's not just buy this, you know, like you've got to talk the right lingo and know your customers. And if you do that, then you will get that cut through. You will get that engagement and it will, you know, it will work.
Okay, I like it. So come on then, everyone's got a Christmas ad. What's that one Christmas ad you guys remember from when you were like young?
Oh, it's got to be Coca-Cola, surely.
Oh yeah,
it's the biggest Christmas ad.
That's what I wrote in our little like.
Yeah.
However, I'm still trying to get my head around the fact that like, okay, I've lived here for 12 years as of Monday. I still can't get my head around the sunny Christmas. I'm like, I want cold, wet. I'm talking like, I remember this one year I got bought a bike for Christmas. You know, I can't remember how old I was. I would have been like, maybe 6 or 8 or something. New bike for Christmas. Amazing. I could literally only ride it for like 15 minutes at a time before my hands were so cold. I had to like come in, heat them up, then go back out again. It's like torture. Who buys a kid a bike at Christmas?
Well, that's what it's like in Dunedin in summer, though. Like that's, that's just our summer.
Okay. All right. You might marginally have me on that one. I do remember seeing you post videos of snow. Okay. I'll let you have that.
Yeah.
I'll let you have that. What other brands, what other things have we got around brands? Are there any brands that you kind of suggest people should follow?
Well, I guess that is a point in itself. So if you, one thing I think a lot of people forget to do is to follow their competitors. And if you do
that's my
that,
favorite thing to do.
Yeah, well, it's amazing how many people don't think to do that. If you follow your competitors and you see the sort of content that they're doing, you can figure out what's working, what's not working. I actually think there's a brand, like, it's got nothing to do with accounting, but Mitre 10, which you've already talked about, they are nailing their social media. They're nailing their marketing, basically. Yeah. It's all about offering someone it's a service, but it's a service that is fun. You know, they're just trying to provide people with benefits. It happens to be that they're targeting DIYers, so we all need those benefits. But it's things like, instead of just going, hey, buy this, this, and this, and you could make this, it's here's how to make a deck. Or here's how to go and put this thing together, or what paint you should be using. But it's very informative and it's friendly. The guy's awesome. Like, he's very chatty and stuff. So
that,
I think
they have
really
where
well.
The like they hug.
Yeah,
it
they
the
hug. It's nice. And even with their social media, if you comment, they run like little competitions, or they ask questions like, "Show us what you've done with DIY at home." And I've entered a few times, I will admit. And they immediately respond. They're so quick to respond. They take every single comment on board and they do something with it. And people like to be heard. They like to be acknowledged. I think they're absolutely nailing it.
Yeah, so like if you're going to do something like a share and like campaign or something where you're expecting people to comment, don't just leave it at that. You actually need to
you should never ask them to do that. If you ask, like if I said to you, hey, like this right now, you're going to go, no. No, I don't want
I probably
to do
would
that. Share this.
You and I'm slightly scared of you, but you know.
I would tell you and chase you down. But if you ask your customers to share this, like one, you're not actually really allowed to do that on Facebook. They can thank you for it.
Really?
And two,
you learn something new every day.
It's in their rules that you're not really allowed to say demanding things like that or asking them to tag people. You can say, tell us who you would like. It's the language. Tell us who you would like to share this trip
Thank
with.
You.
That's okay, but tag your friend? No. So you have to really be careful of that language that you're using. I mean, people do it all the time. You'll see businesses doing it and they get away with it, but it's if Facebook did come around, I have been blocked before and I didn't even do anything wrong. So, you know, it does happen. And I've known of pages that have been completely shut down. I think, I believe Interflora, a number of years ago, they got shut down for quite a period of time. So, it's
on a total side note, the one company that I've seen I think has done really well on social media is EvoCycles.
They're great. They
I think,
are
like,
really
they've gone
good.
From being like a real small fry bike shop that no one particularly thought that much of if they were cyclists to now they're just everywhere. And they've got cyclists of like all qualities, from road cyclists all the way through to like enduro riders and downhill riders. Probably mum's like worst nightmares in the fact that I think they gave away free t-shirts last year at Crankworks if the kid came and got a mullet cut in at by one of their staff members. They got like a
It's all right. My kids already got a mullet. We'll go with that. You wouldn't need the haircut.
What would you do in my scenario? I instantly don't get a t-shirt.
Maybe you can have a mullet.
So I guess social media or marketing, I should say, is actually still something very important to think about. Don't just do the default over a time like this. You actually got to think outside the square.
I suppose too, like people were forgetting about traditional marketing and in times like this, it actually could have its place. Like I think you've got to have a mix across when you're marketing. You need to have a mix, basically. You can't just be looking at one platform. If you want to have front of mind awareness, you do need to consider all of the different places that you could be in. One that I often think is not utilized enough is bus back marketing, because they drive all around wherever you are. They have to do a certain number of routes and then they'll go around and change their whole region and they go to a whole different place. And it's there for a whole month. So it's not just a billboard that's in one place. It's moving around.
You joke about this, but Soph, my wife, was actually on the back of a bus.
So was I.
The number of people that messaged her, like, yeah, took a photo when they were like in traffic, like,
yeah,
what have you done? And she's like, full face back of a bus.
Oh, what? No, I luckily managed to get them to cut my head off.
it was preparing the city council. She literally got a phone call from one of my friends and said, I need to get a photo of a cyclist for something. So it's like, go on then, yeah, I'll do it. And yeah, she was like, look, it's like 1 in 8 people or something. One person's going to end up on a bus, a few people on a website, and the rest won't even get used. Yeah, next
she's
minute,
on a bus.
Like, Soph was cruising down Hewlett's Road and towering her on the back of a bus. It was like, oh wow.
So funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that was great. Yeah. So there you go. There's a story to be told.
I mean, you look at the bus specs, like Specsavers, for example. Like this is nothing to do with Christmas, but they are great, and they really do get some cool cat through, and people do look out for them. It's kind of like the TUI ad, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like,
yep,
you'll see that stuff everywhere, but it works. And billboards as well. At the moment, they're, you know, the digital billboards, they're not that expensive. The placement of them is a little bit more expensive, but you're not having to pay for print and install. Mm. You can change them out if you need to. Like if there's something changes drastically with, you know, our situations, I won't say the C word.
Hey, we made a rule. We weren't going to talk about it today.
Oh, really? You didn't tell me? I was about to ask about COVID.
Technically say that. But, yeah, I think it's, you know, if things are changing, you actually have flexibility with those, whereas with a lot of traditional marketing, you don't. And there was one other thing I was going to say too earlier when you were talking about databases. If you're in hospo, like right now, Christmas parties, like that is your bread and butter. These guys are going to spend, and it's a whole group.
Yeah,
I would totally be marketing Christmas parties as much as you can to try to get businesses in.
And also, like, yeah, right now with things that are coming, it's a contact trace group. It's nice and easy.
It should be fairly manageable.
Do something at their workplace. There's lots of different ways of doing it, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
So Christmas is obviously a big time of year. This is going to be my first year ever of having Christmas off in New Zealand. I've worked every Christmas up till now, so that's going to be strange. But I also feel like Christmas is a big time that people do reflect on what they've done over the year. So it kind of got me thinking about staff culture, and actually probably now is a good time to be showing your staff some love, whether it's in the form of Christmas parties or whether it's in the form of just doing things in the way of engagement and stuff like that. And that's why we've brought Rach on. So when we were in lockdown, Rach was obviously doing some amazing stuff, as I'm sure you'll agree with me, Ree.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Lots of random things like question of the day and bits and pieces, but it actually made a massive difference, I think, to the way the staff felt over that time. It kept them engaged. So big round of applause to Rach for that one.
Yeah, I loved that because you felt engaged.
We need like a sound effect button, don't we?
Yeah,
we do. Like, ho, ho, ho with a big man and a round of applause.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to petition Stu for like a sound effect board.
That was really cool what you did there, Rach, because I had not long started, and it was actually awesome to just, we would do a question a day basically for those that are not working at Railway, and we were learning about all of our colleagues, and because we are nationwide, so we're, you know, right down in Dunedin, and we've got people up far north, and it's really cool to actually learn about all these different people, their backgrounds, and what makes them tick. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
Well, I got mine and Ethan's bromance going as well, didn't
it?
And now he's coming up to stay in January.
Oh.
Look at it.
You give him a jersey.
Yeah, so
compulsory.
I guess the context around, to put a bit of context around the question of the day, I had stumbled upon on social media this, if you Google it, it's called Big Talk. And what it is an Instagram page, is a website, is a Facebook page. And what it does is it tries to encourage people to go beyond small talk, and by asking some meaningful questions. And I sort of thought, okay, we're predominantly quite virtual, and COVID just obviously threw that, sorry, the C word, threw us into this state where those of us who do come to the office couldn't come to the office. And I thought, so how can we actually maintain some engagement with each other? So we have Microsoft Teams here at Rightway, but, you know, previously I've worked in businesses where we've had a private Facebook page or something. So I sort of thought, regardless of what your industry is, you could be a hospo business going through lockdown thinking, how can I actually stay engaged with the team? They might not be coming to a workplace, but how can we actually keep talking to each other? So I thought, okay, let's explore the big talk concept a little bit more, and did a bit of Googling, took some of their questions, but also sort of adapted them for our audience, I guess. And yeah, you're right, Reid. We there was some amazing pieces of information flowing through. Everything from Ange, one of our bookkeepers, who talked about growing up in Bougainville and surfing rapids down a river at the end of her street, to, you know, people talking about what tattoos they've got and what they mean and sharing photos of them. It was so random. And I guess
it's real good though. It was insightful.
It was really insightful.
And it made you feel connected, like even though we were so dispersed and like we were working from garages or dining room tables with kids running around and everything else, we still felt like connected. And it's the kind of thing that I think when you reflect on the year, you will be like,
It was great.
And I mean, we shared I think one of the first ones was podcasts and what book of books, and that had a really high engagement because people just loved sharing what they were into. And then we grew on that. But I think it's, you know, you can use those sorts of questions for recruitment interviews, for example. I think enough of the rhetoric, you know, what do you like doing in your spare time? But actually, you know, tell us about your family growing up. What was a family tradition that you enjoyed? And you're starting to get a little bit more insight as to who that individual is, and whether they sort of fit with who you guys are as a business and all that sort of thing. So
it's quite often it's the values, isn't it, as much as anything. It's we always like we learned beyond. We always went pretty hard out on a client party, but we also did a staff party as well. And I guess like we had a smaller team, so we could obviously be a little bit more, I know we could gear it to what we were doing, but it was definitely something that I always thought was super important.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure everyone was there, and I wanted to make sure everyone was involved, just to make sure that like you build those work stories, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get the banter each year and the things like that.
Yeah.
But it kind of also, I think probably we did it one year, we saw like a real good engagement. And it just inspired us to do it more and more and more regularly, because actually the better the relationships became between our staff, just the better the work environment was on a yearly basis, which I think kind of meant that from a point of view of managing staff, it just got easier and easier and easier.
Absolutely. I was watching the AEM show this morning before I came to work, and they had a couple of the owner of a hospo business and a retailer, and you know, the retailer was commenting about the fact that he had lost the engagement, where he was struggling to sort of re-engage his staff, because obviously with Auckland now able to open retail outlets, how he actually could claw back those relationships that he had and get them sort of, like, reading between the lines, that's what I sort of picked up from what he was saying anyway. And the horse is bolted by this stage. It's a shame that he hadn't sort of stopped to think, okay, how can I actually keep my staff engaged over the last almost 3 months now? It's going to be 3 months by the time it all comes along.
Because they want to provide value, don't they? Even if they can't work, like a normal person wants to be valuable.
Yes.
And I think also it was fun. You know, like I would come in and there was a lot going on, and I'm working basically in silo because of the situation. Normally I'd be in an office with the rest of the Tauranga team. And I know there's a lot of people within Right Way that they're not in an office, so they often are on their own, but you didn't feel like that at all because of us doing those things. Like, I now know little bits about this person and that person, and it's almost like an icebreaker for when I do need to speak with them. I don't feel like I'm talking to someone that I don't know, because I know this about you. And it's very funny, or, you know, like you can see these personalities coming through. It was very engaging.
But it's not for everybody. Yeah. Like I mentioned what I was doing to my husband, and he said, I'd never participate in that. Nobody's going to know anything about me. But there were still the lurkers. and there were still lurkers that would jump in on the odd question that would actually resonated with them, and you're thinking, yeah, got you. And with it, you'd hear them give you
you're some. You're just like sat there fishing.
Yeah,
aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. You almost need like the Snapchat, how it has those little the faces that pop up and down.
Yeah.
It would be great.
it was actually a bit of an interesting social experiment. We had the same people always contributing, like you guys, and then ones that you never hear of, but you might hear a little bit of snippet of feedback how they enjoyed one particular question. Oh, I thought, oh, yeah, you saw it. I got you.
Yeah. Some of them did take a long time to like.
Just warm into it, eh?
I can't remember. You actually asked one and it got me in a right funk. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, dear. I got you reflecting a bit too much, did I?
I think it was about the borders being closed. I think it was something that was like something to do with family. And I was like, yeah, it's been a while now. But anyway.
Sorry for pushing it. Had to be pushed.
It's not a bad thing to like create like open and honesty with your peers. Like it's a good thing. And I think I did actually comment.
Yeah.
I didn't like hold back. I didn't go, because that's not my nature. My nature is I am what you get. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Probably
so
quiet, say Dave.
Rub you up the wall.
So retiring, isn't he?
Check out my jumper. I'm going to say some things that rub you up the wrong way, but I don't mean it in a bad point of view. It's just those kind of things. But I'll wear my heart on my sleeve. In some ways, it's good, though, because I think it does make people understand other people's viewpoints.
Absolutely.
So if nothing else, these kind of things are good, because if you have a connected workforce, I think you've got a united workforce as well. Mm. And they're more likely to stay because, you know, their work group becomes their social group. And you know, it's all of those types of things, isn't it? So
absolutely.
Providing that connection, particularly over times like this, I think is really important. And it's like reinforcing those bonds, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
So what top tips have you got for organising staff do's? Because I've obviously come from a very practical, physical group of people.
Yeah.
And it suddenly occurred to me, I'm like, wow, this is like different now. You know?
Yeah, it is a wee bit.
I'm in an accounting firm.
Yeah. I guess so.
Are there any do's and don'ts?
Well, I was about to allude to that really. I don't want to be the fun police, but I do tend to be the fun police. So before I became an internal resource here at Right Way, I provided external advice to our clients, and I tend to be the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, or I did used to be the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff with certain situations. And I've now passed
from
that.
What I've heard about you and your cycling career, I've heard that you've been needing the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. Or flights of steps, I believe the story is.
And car doors and things like that, yeah. I've passed that baton to AJ Halliday now, so she's our client person. But, I guess it doesn't matter what you do, you've always got to remember that communication with your team is really important when it comes to your functions. And by that, I mean, it depends on your industry, but one situation that comes to mind that happened last year was a client contacted me because they had this fabulous function. They'd gone out to this venue and one of the staff had inappropriately touched a member of the wait staff, a female wait staff member, and that had actually really impacted on her. So then we had to unravel this whole situation, and you know, there are just, I guess, behaviors that you need to make known to your staff. You need to anticipate, okay, who's going to keep an eye out on certain individuals because we know that they like a little bit of a tipple. Are we providing enough food? All that sort of thing. Who's going to be the one person who's going to be sober at this event and just keep an eye on everything that's going on? And in this particular case, they did have a person who was keeping an eye on everything, and she took that responsible position, I guess, at the function. But, you know, they – yeah, it's really, really unfortunate. And here in Dunedin, we have a Tradies Day. I've never come across it before coming to Dunedin, where basically Tradies Day, where a lot of the firms sort of come together in the octagon sort of on the last working day of the year. And I quite often go there, and of course with my HR hat on, you know, you're seeing firms, and they're sitting there in their branded clothing and getting a little bit more, sitting in the sun, having a few bevies, that sort of thing. And you think, just behave. Please behave, because reputational damage is...
Oh, yeah. That's a marketer's nightmare.
It is. And I've been out to functions where I've known who companies have been and they've been misbehaving, and I've thought to myself, I'm not going to use you guys because, behaving like prats. So, I guess that's from an employment sort of a situation, is I'm always a little bit wary. Depending on what...
Well, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because it's like you want to facilitate something fun, but I think probably a lot of the people who are going to be listening to this are business owners. It's like, unfortunately, this isn't your staff do. This is for your staff.
Yeah.
So you probably need to identify this is the staff event and say whether it's 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, you guys can crack on.
Yeah.
But at that point, I'm peeling out, and it's kind of like the end of the, this is the work line. And if they want to carry on as a group of friends, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But it's maybe controlling some expectations up to that point.
Correct.
The food to alcohol ratio and potentially the location if you are worried about brand exposure.
Yeah.
I suppose trying to find something that suits everybody, taking that into account as well, because you might have food intolerances or limitations with fitness levels or I know for me, if we were going to go and watch a really scary movie, I would not be very happy about that, because I'm terrified of things like that.
I'll support you on that one.
Or doing something like a scare house, I would be terrified. But if it was, going on a scavenger hunt or something more fitness-based, and I'm all in. But that's not for everybody. So I suppose it's trying to find something.
Yeah, hard to find that balance, isn't it? Absolutely. I'm not sure what this year is going to look like, I guess, for functions and things. So many people are working virtually, aren't they? It's really tricky. How do you actually find that sense of coming together when you can't necessarily come together?
But then maybe this is even more the time to be doing the little things, the regular things like the question of the day, and reconnecting that workforce, because I think the firms that put the effort into their staff now doing the things that they're doing, and the staff get closer, it becomes very obvious to the ones that aren't. And when you don't have that big thing at the end of the year, like a Christmas party or something like that, to reunite everyone before they kind of go off on this time where they are likely to reflect, you may be at risk of losing staff, and staff are hard to find right now. You've got to keep your staff, and you've got to look after them.
Absolutely.
Putting in those things on a more regular basis are probably more important than ever.
Yeah. For sure,
What other top tips have we got? Have we got anything else floating around in there? I reckon we've got a little Pandora's box of ideas. You're probably but I'm not going to tell you yet, Dave. You got to wait till next week on Teams.
I guess let me think. I think top tip, timing wise, is probably around close down periods. Just making sure that if you've got a close down period coming up, you make sure you actually communicate that to your employees and give them enough notice. It should be in their employment agreement. In fact, it needs to be in their employment agreement. It shouldn't come as a surprise. And I guess at this time, because of everything that we're dealing with, it might be an opportunity for businesses to say, right, I'm just going to close down this year. Actually, it's not that simple. You need to have had a pattern of close downs. So, November, now's the time to actually say, yep, we're going to have our traditional close down period. This is what it's going to be. Put it in writing, and then all the employees know that that's what's coming up. And also they can start to ration out their annual leave to get them through.
Definitely. Okay, I guess that pretty – on a random side note, I've just realised I wrote this down and I never said it. It's 53 days from the recording of this podcast till Christmas. It's not actually that long, really, is it?
Not at all.
1,261 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no. Dave, you're exceeding yourself now.
76,241 minutes, apparently.
Right. Is that right now or now? Or what's it now?
Well, probably from when I did it a little while ago. So you're going to have to line me off. So if we were to draw it to a conclusion, are you going to give me a 30-second snapshot on marketing, Marie? Go.
Oh, I can give you that.
You're on the spot. You're going to make me do a 30-second introduction to this podcast in a minute. So
I will
I'm
be
giving
doing
you
that, and it better be snappy.
No waffle. Marketers' worst nightmares, waffle.
I'll do this. I'll go better. I'll give you some really good tips. How about that?
Go.
Two more. Okay. So there is a way on Facebook to follow your competition. If you go to their page, your competition's Facebook page, you scroll down to page transparency, click see all, go to the ad library, and you will be able to see everything that they are running. Boom! There's a good one.
I've never known that.
Oh,
now you do.
That's like intellectual gold there, people. Write it down.
Yeah, okay, and the other one would be automated responses. So you were talking about letting your employees know that you're shutting down. Have you let your clients know that you're shutting down for a period? Have you given them time? So say you're a print company. Have you allowed for them to actually get in those last minute orders of printing pieces that they needed?
Yeah.
For social on that side, have you changed your automatic response? So if someone messages you, it's not going to say, we'll be back to you in 24 hours. It's going to say, hey, sorry, we're actually closed. Yeah, we're opening at this time or we're closed at this time. Provide them with detail, because the last thing that people want is to be sitting there waiting more than 24 hours for feedback. Like, social media is immediate. So if you've got no one watching it, you need to have some sort of automated message. And that's really easy to set up. You just go into settings on your Facebook page.
Yep.
It's all on there. It's super easy. Those would be my two big ones.
Cool. And Rach, do you want to give us three do's and don'ts for a staff party? Here we go.
Don't wear branded clothing if you're going to go out publicly and really enjoy yourself, like enjoy yourself in inverted commas.
And I don't think that's unreasonable to ask.
No.
Guys,
it's
we're going to be having some beers. We've
got
brand image to uphold.
They still do it. And I'm thinking, oh, man.
Yep.
Make sure that you have somebody that's sober that's going to keep tabs on what's happening and making sure that people are safe and not drinking themselves under the table. So I keep alluding to alcohol, but it is a common theme.
It is a common theme for staff parties. And it's one of the elephants. If you don't address it, it's like the elephant in the room, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a wee bit. It is a wee bit. Probably they're just the top two, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Keep them safe.
Well,
keep them healthy.
I know both of you two were a little bit camera shy to come on the podcast with me, so I'm going to thank you very much. I think it's been awesome, and I think there's some good takeaways for our wonderful listeners. And you'll be pleased to know that you got me. You could have ended up with Stu.
That's
and
true.
Arguably, re-decided that would be worse because, you know, it's worse when you're doing it with the boss rather than me.
No, you had to put that on the podcast, didn't you?
Celia, don't edit this out. Right, okay, guys, I'm going to leave you to crack on with your day. And
thanks, Dave.
Thank you very much for joining me.
Cheers. Thank you.
Bye.
Have a good Christmas.
All right.
See you. Bye.
Bye.